Good morning, everybody. It's great to see you today. Y'all look wonderful, and feels like springtime out there. I love to see the sunshine, and man, it's good to have you back, Mike, after your surgery. Let's hear it from Mike. I appreciate Mike and Linda. We are getting very, very close to Easter. I'm excited about that. I hope that you will do something for Easter, and that is personally invite people that you know that maybe don't have a church home, and let's just blow this thing out on Easter and just see what God will do. I'm enjoying the lead up to Easter as we look at the last phrases that Jesus made on the cross. Before we get into that, I like to start with something a little bit lighter. Let me just announce, Melanie sent out a thing to our leaders this last week, and this is a compliment to you as a church, just to say that for the last 5 months running, compared to last year, and we don't talk about money a lot in our church, but our giving has been up over the last 5 months compared to last year. So give yourselves a hand for that, and that's a real, real blessing. And as a result, we're just going to see God continue to do great things around here. And man, the lobby just continues. We thought it was awesome, and it keeps improving. There was some nice shelving that was put up there this week, and I don't want to give it away, but you're going to see some neat artwork that's coming very soon that one of our Iranian ladies did that I'm real excited about. speaking of giving, there was a man that called the church one day, and he got the secretary answered the phone, and the man said, "I'd like to talk to the head hog." And the secretary said, "Well, that's not a very respectful way to talk to about our pastor." And he said, "Well, I wanted to talk to the pastor about making a $1 million donation." And the secretary said, "Well, I'll go get the big piggy right now." All right. How to live through a bad day. Our theme scripture that we're using all of these 7 weeks is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race that we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was heading. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever, and now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. Boy, the phrase that we're dealing with today, I can't think of a heavier phrase, a phrase maybe more un-Jesus-like than you would expect to be made on the cross. Un-Son of God-like, maybe you think when you hear it. And yet, to me, it may be the most comforting words that Jesus said on the cross. When he was on the cross, he cried out. In Aramaic, it was, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani." And in English, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? My God, why have you forsaken me?" We're now to the fourth lesson that we learned from the cross. And the lesson this week, as you're taking notes, and by the way, if you're new here and you want to come back, we have free notebooks outside that you can put these notes in and just keep track of them every week. But the lesson this week is, aim your hard questions at God, not man. I want to tell you something that really encourages me today. You're in a church today that believes it's okay to bring your hard questions to God. And I think it's sometimes misstated that, you know, never question God. You can hear that in churches and among religious people a lot. But the Bible that I read, there's a lot of questioning of God that goes on. Read the book of Psalms sometime, and you'll hear all kinds of questions of God, times that God doesn't make sense. Our series is called How to Live Through a Bad Day. And, you know, there are levels of bad days, aren't there? There's the bad day when you're craving Chick-fil-A and you realize it's Sunday. Yeah, it's Sunday. That's one level of bad day. Or the car won't start. But this is a whole new level of bad day. This is a devastating day. It's the day you dread when you receive the phone call that you don't want to receive. I'm thinking, as I think of this, of a time that I received a phone call in Illinois to come to the hospital because one of the children of our school parents had been shot. And I went to the hospital, and the story kind of emerged. This great dad in our church was, he's just a great dad's dad. He played basketball with his kids, baseball with his kids. He took his kids hunting. And he took these two little boys hunting, and they were quail hunting. And the way it works is the quail will come up, and then you shoot at the quail. But they were out there hunting, and the quail came up, and brother took aim at the quail. But at the very same time, little brother stood up right in front of big brother. And so big brother pulls the trigger, think he's shooting birds, and ends up shooting his little brother in the head. It's a whole new level of bad day. I remember being in there in the emergency room and seeing the gauze around his head as his vital signs were ebbing away. And he eventually died there, and I was irritated, frankly, by the chaplain's words to the parents. The chaplain, well-meaning and trying to be comforting, said to the parents, "You know, God must have just needed another little angel up there." And I thought to myself, you think God needs the angel? We needed this angel. My God, my God. Where are you? Thinking of 1999, the month of June, in southern Illinois, hearing the news that there was an older gentleman who lived down by the railroad tracks, 80 years old, lived in a trailer. His daughter just happened to be coming by to clean her dad's house while he was there. When there was a famous serial killer on the loose called the Railroad Killer, who would take railroad lines. And he was from Mexico, and he was deranged, and he would come up through these railroad lines, get off the tracks, and do his damage. And he came to this 80-year-old man's house, tied him to a chair, shot him in the head, and his daughter, who happened to be cleaning, unfortunately walked in on the scene. And she was clubbed to death, beaten to death. Shortly thereafter, the woman who was beaten to death's daughter began attending our church. And I'll never forget it. We didn't know it at first. Her and her husband came, and then the story kind of emerged, what they had just gone through. And the church is kind of like a hospital. I don't know if you've noticed that. But they came to our church broken, and we watched Rhonda just start devastated and very reticent. We just watched over the months and over the years her get better. And after some time, her sister ventured into our church. It was almost like she was watching Rhonda for a while. And LaDonna came to our church, and we watched over a process of time. But imagine that your mother and your grandfather, killed by this notorious murderer just a few miles from our town and our church, And their cries, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" I'm thinking when I was teaching school back in Missouri, when Melanie and I first started dating, and there was a family in the church there that had a bunch of kids, and they were just one of those families, bunch of kids, beautiful home with a pond behind it. But they had so many kids, and then they had a new baby named John Gary, and when John got old enough to walk, they had so many kids, you know, and we always joked with our kids that when we had two kids, we could play man-to-man, but when we had three, we had to go to zone, you know, you couldn't cover them all at the same time. You know, they had so many kids, you couldn't keep an eye on them all at one time, and they had all of their kids, and little John had just learned to walk, and without anyone knowing it, he walked out the back door, down into the pond, walked in, out into the pond, and drowned. It's a new level of bad day. So as we're looking at Jesus on the cross, we're not talking about a Chick-fil-A kind of day. We're talking about the devastating kind of day when platitudes like God needed a little angel up there just don't suffice. Our little Christianese sayings that we try to use to comfort one another aren't very comforting, because really what we want to cry is, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me?" So this morning I want to give us some sort of, what do we do when God doesn't make sense? And if it's never happened to you yet, if you live long enough, there will be times in your life, let me tell you, that God will not make sense. If it didn't make sense to Jesus, it won't make sense to us. What do we do at times when God doesn't make sense? As you're filling in blanks, and you know, it's the first thing that a practical way is to trust in His nature. Trust in the nature of God. You know, how you view God will say a lot. Will say a lot about how you react in days like this. Some people view God like He's got a lightning bolt in one hand and a hammer in another, and He's waiting for you to mess up, and He's waiting to judge you in some way, and He's waiting to come down. But can I tell you that that's not the nature of God? How many know today that we serve a good God? We serve a good God. 2 Corinthians 1:3 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of compassion and the God of all comfort." One scripture says, "He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities." I believe in a God who weeps with us when we weep, and He bottles up all of our tears. And there's times when God doesn't make sense, that we need to trust that He is not the author of evil. What's your picture of God? One of the things that we really try to do at Life Church is we try to present you a God who's not mad at you. No matter what you've done, no matter what you've been through, let me just tell you something. You don't need a preacher to beat you up this morning. John 3:17 says, God didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world. Those who don't believe are condemned already. You came here feeling, I don't know about you, but I need to hear some good news this morning. And the good news this morning is that God's nature is that He's a good God. So there's times when we don't feel it, when we don't see it, that we have to trust in the nature of God. God, I don't know why I'm going through this. I don't know why this is happening all around me. But one thing that I know about You is that You're a good God, and that You're a compassionate God, that You're slow to anger. Hallelujah. You're compassionate. If we put You down to one word, You're love. That's who You are. We have to trust in His nature, but then We have to trust in His promises. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through Him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. If you don't understand what that's saying, it basically says that if God makes us a promise, you can take it to the bank. That God's promises are true. And even though Jesus is saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Do you know what one of the promises of God is? Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Before Jesus left, He said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. No matter how abandoned you feel, no matter how lonely it seems that you are, the promises of God are true. I love what David said. If I ascend into heaven, you're there. But I love this next part. But if I make my bed in Sheol, hell. If I'm going through hell, you'll meet me in hell. You can trust His promises. But the other thing that you can trust is you can trust His final destination. 2 Corinthians 4:16 and 18 says, therefore do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Now listen to this. For our light and momentary troubles. Can you turn to your neighbor and say light and momentary? Light and momentary. That doesn't make sense. Our light and momentary. It doesn't seem like what we're talking about is light and momentary, are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I came to tell you this morning that the troubles of this present world are not even to be compared to the glory which is to come. There are times when life makes no sense, when we are devastated beyond what we can understand, that we trust in the fact that this is not all that there is. Are you thankful for that? Are you thankful? The Apostle Paul said, if in this life only I had hope, I would be of all men most miserable. There's more than what we see here. Trust in the final destination. And so it's okay to say as Jesus did, what, my God, why? Why have you forsaken me? But what do we do during the why? Isaiah 63:9 says, in all their suffering He also suffered, and I love this, and He personally rescued them. In His love and mercy He redeemed them. He lifted them and carried them through all the years. I just want to say, you when you're going through it, you don't see it at the time. But when you look at the broad sweep of life, and you look back, you say, He was carrying me. I don't know how I made it through that. How did Rhonda and LaDonna make it through that time? How did they get healthy again and have families and lead normal lives? Because somehow, through all of that, God was carrying them. So what do we do during the whys? We learn while asking why. Hebrews 5:8 says, even though Jesus was God's Son, He learned obedience through the things that He suffered. I don't like this, but I learn more in devastating times than I learn in mountaintop times. I learn more. I learn about how God is. I would love for every day to be a holiday and every meal to be a feast. And thank God for days like that. But those are laughing days. They're not learning days. And I've learned. One writer put it this way. I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions about tomorrow. There have been times when I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation that my trials come only to make me strong. Through it all, how many know that song? I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, oh, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. Those difficult times are the learning times. It's when I go through the trials that I learn how God really is. 2 Corinthians 1:9 says, in fact, we expected to die, but as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely on God who raises the dead. I didn't even know how I was going to make it through that. Somehow God did it. So we learn while we're asking the whys. The second thing is that we love while asking why. Hebrews 13:16 says, and don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. 2 Corinthians 1:4, He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others when they are troubled. We will be able to give them the same comfort that God has given us. So Rhonda and LaDonna were in our church for a few years after that happened to their mother and their grandfather. In time, they caught the man who had killed, for sure, 11 people, possibly more. He's since been executed. But he was from Mexico, and you know the feelings today that go on about people who are illegal. He was an illegal. Our church was going to do a mission few years into this process called Christmas on the Border. And it was where we were going to take a mission team down to one of the toughest places. The border towns in Mexico are some of the toughest places. And we went to this town called Reynosa. Reynosa, Mexico, is a tough place. Truthfully, we had to stop doing mission trips there because more killings were happening than were happening in Iraq at the time. And we had to stop our mission trips. But we were announcing Christmas on the Border, and we couldn't believe when Rhonda and LaDonna signed up for that trip and said they wanted to go to Mexico. Rhonda and LaDonna, why do you want to go to Mexico? Everyone will understand if you just stay back and sit this one out. Your mom's been killed. They said, no. It wasn't those folks' fault. We want to go to Mexico. We went to Mexico and we went to a cardboard town. We went to this place by the railroad tracks where people lived in cardboard boxes and we gave out gifts, Christmas gifts. And LaDonna and Rhonda were a huge part of it. I wrote them yesterday knowing that I was going to be sharing their story. And I just said, ladies, it was the single greatest act of love I've ever witnessed. That you would go to Mexico as part of your healing process and share not only Christmas gifts but the good news with those folks. It's important, church, that if we're going to not be bitter, but if we're going to get better, we got to love while we're asking why. And finally, we've got to worship while asking why. Hebrews chapter 12, 28 and 29. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping Him with holy fear and awe, for our God is a devouring fire. What does that mean? I think that means that when we worship, that God just burns away all of our fears. He just burns away all of those things that are holding us back. But I want to share with you, to close this time, the most amazing thing about this whole passage. Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? What most people don't know is that Jesus was quoting a psalm. You know how it is with us today that when we name a song, we'll name it by its first line in the song. We'll just say something like Amazing Grace. And our minds can fill in the rest of that song. But Jesus got up and the very first line of Psalm chapter 22 says, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's how Psalm 22 begins. Had he read the rest of the psalm? Had he had the strength to do it? I imagine he's just got the strength for one line. Can I just imagine into the story and think that in his mind he's singing the whole song? It's a song, Psalm 22. Let me give you some excerpts from that song. Why are you so far from saving me? So far from my cries of anguish. My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one that Israel praises. Now listen to this. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. The very things they were saying about Jesus on the cross is what this song says. Let him deliver him since he delights in him. The psalmist said, my mouth is dried up like a potsherd and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. Getting ahead of ourselves, one of the words of Jesus on the cross is, I thirst. His tongue sticking to the roof of his mouth is dried up. And then he says, dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. They pierce my hands and my feet? Are you kidding me? Jesus is quoting a psalm that's describing what he's going through. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. Listen to this. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garments. Exactly what they did to Jesus. The only line we hear is, my God, why have you forsaken me? But you got to hear the last stanza. The last stanza says, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among your assembled people. Praise the Lord, all you who fear him. Honor him, all you descendants of Jacob. Show him reverence, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not ignored or belittled the suffering of the needy. He has not turned his back on them, but has listened to their cries for help. He starts out by saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? But the last line is, He has not ignored or belittled the suffering of the needy. He has not turned his back on them, but has listened to the cries for help. I'm surrounded by dogs. I'm surrounded by villains. There's a wonderful psalm that says, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, even so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and evermore. It may seem like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. And so I'm thinking of my friend who just a few weeks ago I received a call on Sunday right after church. His only daughter in her 20s died of an unexpected aneurysm in the night. Would you do the funeral? So I came to that funeral. An hour before the funeral, they began playing her favorite worship music. By the time the service began, everybody was on their feet, and I'm picturing Doug and Kathy on the front row, hands up, worshiping God. In the most unlikely moment, I'm remembering the Sunday night when Gail Lewis, after her son had walked into the pond, I'm picturing her on Sunday night, tears coming down her cheeks, hands up, worshiping the Lord. What do you do in the wise? You learn while asking why. You love while asking why. Can I just be so transparent this morning to say that there are days when Melanie and I come to church, carry burdens that some of you don't see, and we're going through a lot worse than Chick-fil-A days. And we stood up here this morning, Emily, while you were leading worship. And I felt the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Worshiping in whatever you're going through right now. Learn, love, worship. I heard a song this week. It's a two-line song, so I know you can learn it. Emily's going to lead us in it after I say a word of prayer. Let's close our eyes. Maybe you're here today and just say, I'm just so refreshed to hear about a God who it's okay to ask our questions to and bring our doubts to and bring our disappointments to. And this morning I just say, I can't do this on my own anymore and I need God to help me in my life. If that's you this morning and you just say, I want to receive the Lord as my Savior, would you just raise your hand in this place? Thank you, God. I hope that all of us will commit to learning, loving, worshiping while we're asking our whys. We thank you, Lord God, for your word today, and we thank you for your people that are gathered in this place. I just thank you, Lord, that you phrased a word, a phrase that lets me know it's okay for me to say that phrase. Because there's times, God, where the only thing I've got for you is, my God, where are you? Why have you forsaken me? Take communion this morning.